Welcome to the How Writers Write podcast, a show focused on inspiring and empowering you to become a better writer. Come along as we deconstruct the tips, routines, and motivations of your favorite authors. In the end, it's all about getting your story onto the page.
Welcome to episode 84, How Jennifer Estep Writes. Welcome, welcome, my friends. I am somewhere in the Black Hills of South Dakota recording this podcast intro on my iPad. Fun times being a nomad. Anyways, today's episode is with Jennifer Estep. Jennifer is a New York Times, USA Today, and international bestselling author of more than 40 books. This episode is absolutely wonderful for those writers who are writing fantasy series and who, and you just want to hear how an absolute pro goes about her business. I really, really enjoyed interviewing Jennifer. I want to take a special minute to thank Jennifer for her time sharing so much with me. And now, my friends, without any further ado, here is the interview with Jennifer Estep.
Welcome to the How Writers Write podcast. I am your host, Brian, and today's very special guest is Jennifer Estep. Jennifer is the New York Times, USA Today, and international best-selling author. She's the author of many series, lots of series, including The Crown of Shards, Gargoyle Queen, Elemental Assassin, Section 47, Mythos Academy spinoff, Big Time, and the Black Blade series. She has written more than 40 books, along with numerous novellas and stories. In her spare time, Jennifer enjoys hanging out with friends and family, doing yoga, and reading fantasy and romance books. She also, self-reportedly, watches way too much TV and loves all things related to superheroes. Jennifer's newest book, actually the first in her new series, Gargoyle Queen, is called Capture the Crown, and it will be available on July 6th, 2021 in the United States. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I am so excited to talk to you. We have a disproportionate amount of series writers and fantasy writers and sci-fi writers. And so I feel like we are just going to have a plethora of things to talk about. But before we get started, I've been leading off with this question a pretty fair amount. As we kind of, it's summer, right? It's like 100 degrees where I'm at this week. It's very hot. It's summer. We're coming out of the pandemic. And one of the questions I've been leading off with is just a moment of reflection on the past 18 months of insanity. And what I want to ask you is, do you, or what is it you feel like in the past 12 months you have learned about yourself as a writer as a result of kind of going through all the craziness and insanity that we've gone through?
I would say for me, you know, I'm a full-time writer, so I already worked from home. So the pandemic didn't disrupt my work life so much that way, but, everything just like mentally took so much longer. You know, something that I would do like maybe in a week or two would like take me like a month. So I think I learned about myself that, you know, while writing is an escape for me and one of my happy places, you know, I also need a break from it every once in a while. And I actually need to leave my house every once in a while, you know, to just get outside and do something different and recharge and refresh and all of that. So it's definitely made me appreciate, you know, like just even being able to go out and go to the grocery store or go to a bookstore or whatever, just, you know, kind of the little things that I think everybody was taking for granted before the pandemic. You know, I kind of appreciate those small pleasures and kind of simple freedoms more than before.
Yeah, I agree. I've had the pleasure of going to a bunch of bookstores kind of across Colorado in the past month or so. And it's like every bookstore I go to is packed. And I'm always like, man, book people are just starving to go back into bookstores. Like the first place when all this started to lift, they were like, put me in the bookstore, you know, that's like where they wanted to go, you know? So how do you think, or has it, do you think your fiction writing, the actual kind of stuff that you talk about in your books, do you think that will change as a result of the pandemic?
Well, what I hope is that the pandemic has made us all a little more sympathetic and empathetic toward other people, because you never really know what somebody's going through. You know, like you might see like a happy post online that somebody does, and then in reality, you know, the world is falling apart privately. So, you know, I would like to think that my books will have a little bit more of that sympathy and empathy, maybe that little deeper level of emotion, just because of this like collective trauma that we've all been through over the past 18 months.
I was just talking to a friend about this, about the fact that, you know, almost everyone living has experienced new emotions probably as a result of this pandemic. You know, the emotions that we would just never have had access or need to feel. And I'm like, man, I wonder what the fiction is going to be an output of, like, or what output, you know, fiction will have as a result of the pandemic. Like, how many people are going to write about things they never would have written about because all of a sudden there's this new emotional experience. It's pretty profound, right? Regardless of, you know, your experience with the pandemic, I mean, it's a profound experience. So I think just think it's interesting. So you are a series writer. You've written many series. You have a new book coming out and your first of the series. And a lot of our listeners are series writers and they want to write multi-book, you know, series. So let's just pretend we could go back however long ago it was when you started Capture the Crown and you're like, all right, brand new series, let's kick this thing off. What are those first early steps you go through? How do you put together, or how much I should say, do you put together the plan for a series? How much are you thinking about it? Are you like how do you architect it? How do you come up with the idea for a series?
Well, I have to say, I'm pretty much a total pantser.
Okay.
You
Total
know, and for
pantser.
total pantser, and for those of you listening, writers are generally panners or plotters. And you know, if you're a plotter, you plot the whole thing out. You might do chapter outlines or character outlines or whatever. But I just kind of sit down. I write in first person, so for me, the books are all about my heroine and her magic and her journey and how she can use her powers to defeat the bad guys. So for me, a lot of it is, you know, I think about the character first. Who she is and what she wants out of life. And then I think about kind of like the big set pieces or fight scenes in the book, like what's the thing that drives the action in the first third of the book and in the middle of the book and then the big fight scene at the end. And kind of once I have those things in mind and a pretty rough idea of the plot, I will just sit down and start writing. And when I do start that first draft, I try to write about 5 or 6,000 words a day just to kind of get the
Whoa.
story and the characters and the chapters down on the page. These are not good final words. It's like pretty much a hot mess of stream of consciousness, but it's just like the thing that I have found that works the best for me.
Okay, so let's unpack this because I'm going to demo an idea here for the first time that I've been kind of chewing on. It's been rolling in my head. I think I'm going to write an essay on it, which is there's this somewhat artificial construction of the idea of a pantser and a plotter, right? To a certain degree, the reality is each writer kind of has a process and it falls on some level of continuum. But the idea that there's any that it's bucketed as cleanly as you either sit down and you just write by the seat of your pants or you write, construct this huge plot, I think is kind of a misnomer a little bit. And so for your process, you are going through some level of like, you're not just sitting down and being like, let's see what comes out. Like there is a lot of prep work that you're going into thinking about your character, like thinking about the world. Like how much of that are you kind of getting set in your brain before you get to sit out? Do you know 10% of it? Do you know 5%? Do you know all of it? Like, how much is actually formed in your brain before you feel like you're ready to put words down on the page?
You know, I would say like maybe 25% or less.
25%.
Because for me, you know, it is a little bit of a process of discovery because as I write that first draft and you know, I go along, I learn more about the characters. And then, you know, after the first draft, I usually do about four drafts. And with each one is, you know, I'm tweaking the world building, I'm adding more things in, I'm taking things out. So yeah, I mean, I don't have it. It's very rare for me to have like the whole book and the world in my head when I sit down and start writing that first draft. So for me, a lot of it is is a process of discovery.
So what are the major points you need to know about a book or about a series before you're like, I'm ready to go? Like what is it? What is it you have? You said to your characters, like, what is it you need to know about your character?
I need to know her magic. Okay. Because magic. As you said, I write fantasy books. Yep. So I need to know, like, basically what her main power is. What's the thing that makes her different or special or unique or an interesting character to read about? I kind of need to know sort of the overall theme of the book. Like with Capture the Crown, it's kind of like I have this really pampered princess who secretly moonlights as a spy. So it's almost like a Robin Hood or a Scarlet mm-hmm. Pimpernel type of story. I kind of need to know the theme. And then I need to know the world building. You know, I need to know, is it epic fantasy? Is it mm-hmm. urban fantasy? Is it sci-fi? And then kind of within that genre, what sort of creatures or magic or whatever that I'm going to put in, whether it's, you know, vampires or, you know, Capture the Crown has references to gladiators and things like that. So just kind of, I guess you would say like the bones or the skeleton of the story. And then, like I said, with the drafts, I go back and flesh it out and fill everything in.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. One of the things I think, you know, I'm talking to people who are pantsers, and I'm going to put pantser in an air quote parentheses thing because I'm kind of on a new mission to tear these words down, but different topic altogether. One of the big struggles I find with pantsers when I'm talking to pantsers, I'm not one, but when I talk to them, is this idea of what stays and what goes. Like, how do you make the decision? Because you're going to have one bazillion ideas. A lot of them are going to probably be pretty good ideas. But how does one decide when you are in this kind of like discovery writer? I really love that word. You're a discovery writer. How does one make a decision about what you're going to keep and what you're going to say? This isn't, it's good, but it's not meant for this book. Like, do you have a feeling? Do you have a whatever? Like, how does that work for you?
A lot of the times I will, like, especially say when I, after my first draft, I do a second draft where I go through line by line, edit, revise. By the time I get to the end of the second draft, you know, I have a, what I would call a real yeah. quote unquote book. And then after that, a lot of it is editing. And when I get to the editing stage, I'm like, okay, especially like when epic fantasy, because you can just world build, and that could be like your whole book is just basically descriptions of this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
But you really have to sit down and think, is this important to the story? Is this a detail that people need to know? Like, I remember in one of my Crown of Shards books, I had described like what the money looks like. And I went back and I took it out because people don't really need to know what the money looks like in this book. So a lot of it is about editing yourself and just, you know, I have this idea that, you know, writing a book is kind of like baking a cake. And, you know, we all start with kind of like the same basic ingredients, flour and sugar and butter, you know, characters and plot and whatever. But it's really those little touches that you add to it or that you take out that really make your book your own. So for me, like I said, a lot of it is it necessary to the story or is it just like a fun detail that I want to put in, but it doesn't really matter if I take it out?
Yeah. Yeah. When you're composing, I agree with you, all the magic happens in editing. You know what I mean? Like nobody really writes a good first draft. And yet a lot of people really struggle to get a first draft done. You know what I mean? It's this interesting contradiction. There's a lot of pressure on that first draft to be, again, here comes air quotes, good. You know, a lot of writers really, really put a lot of pressure to be like, someone's going to read my first draft and be like, great book, which is just way too much pressure. That bar is way too high. And so a lot of people in those first drafts, they're trying to make a really good decision as they're typing, as they're writing with their hand about what to do and not do. And when you get into a situation, especially in that first draft, and you're having to make a decision on what stays and what goes, like, do you use, what do you use in the actual drafting composing process to keep going, right? To get through it and get to the end?
Well, I definitely agree with you. I think a lot of people think if the first draft isn't perfect, then they can't write a book. And that's just not true.
Right.
So for me, I mean, I've like changed plots halfway through a book and I just keep writing. I mean, I don't stop and go back and edit. I don't do that in the first draft. I just write from chapter one to the end. And like I said before, that's just my process. But, you know, I know authors that stop and edit as they go along. And I don't think that I could do that myself because, you know, once I get into the flow of the story, I like just to keep going, even if, like I said, I've changed a plot point halfway through and I'm going to have to go back and and change it. But yeah, I mean, my first drafts, like I said before, they're just a hot mess. I mean, I will literally sometimes I will literally just type like, you know, and someone dies here and like bad guy number one, you know, falls off a cliff or whatever. And now we're moving on to the next chapter. So you just really have to find the process that works best for you. If it's going to bug you and you need to stop and go back and re-edit and revise, then do that in your first draft. And if you don't want to do it to the end, then wait till the end to do it. Everybody is different and, you know, everybody's process is different, which is what makes writing so fascinating.
Yeah. It's an interesting, what's so interesting about talking about writing all day and, you know, like my entire day, all I think about is writing, you know, and storytelling. And what's so interesting is that there's so many things we share, you know, there's so many components that are the same and that are timeless to a certain degree in writing. And then there's this other thing, there's this other part that is nothing like, you know, no two people are the same in, and where no two people are the same is kind of in the process, right? Kind of in the way that they create. Now, I do think that there's like silos of models. Like, I don't think there's infinity. There's probably 10, you know, and it still is, I think, really challenging for people because it's hard to understand that. It's hard to unpack process. It's why we focus so much on this show on helping people unpack their process, which, yeah, a little ranty there. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about your journey to storytelling, right? Because you've written so many books. Like, at what point did you say to yourself, like, I think I want to try and write a book. I want to give this a shot. Like, how did that work for you?
Well, I always loved books. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would take us to our little local library every Saturday, which is, you know, how I fell in love with books and reading in the first place. And I think I remember like back in maybe like eighth grade or something saying that I wanted to like write books or be a newspaper reporter or, you know, do something with words. So it was kind of, I guess, always in the back of my mind. And then one summer during college, I thought, I'm going to sit down and try to write a fantasy book. So I did. And it was a very, very, very bad epic fantasy book that will never see the light of day. It was just like so cliche and too long and overwrought, like all the mistakes you would expect to make in the very first book that you ever wrote. But when I finished the first book, I thought, I've proven to myself that I can write a book. So I'm going to write another book. And I wrote another book and another book. And I wrote 7 books over the course of about 7 years. And I started, you know, querying and writing to agents and editors, trying to get published. And I got about, I would say, 400 or 500 rejections altogether.
Pause. 4. Yeah, I thought you were going to say 4 or 5 rejections. And I was like, nah, come on.
No.
400 or 500 rejections?
I would say so. Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, I used to have just like a stack of rejection letters, like a whole thick binder of them. Yeah.
Holy smokes. Okay. Everybody out there, can we just take a moment and just hear and actually digest the reality of what you're saying, which is you had the gumption to send out 400 or 500 of those queries in the first place, right? Which is a tremendous amount of work. Time commitment, all those things. But then you endured the 400 or 500 no's and rejections and kept going. Like at rejection 300, certainly you had to be like, what am I doing? Like certainly there had to be some level of self-doubt coming in after hundreds of rejections. Or no, maybe not. Maybe you're just like, nah, I'm just going to keep going.
I will say one thing that probably helped me. I have a degree in journalism, so I used to work for a daily newspaper.
Okay.
And man, oh man, you would not believe the things that people will call you up at the newspaper and complain about.
Right.
So I kind of probably had a thicker skin than a lot of other people starting out, because I would write stories for the newspaper and people would call and complain about them. So there was that. But I knew that writing books, it's always been what I wanted to do. And I was going to do it no matter what. And I didn't really care how long it took me. But yeah, there was definitely some self-doubt along the way. But holy, you know, but the more books that I wrote, I've heard a lot of other authors talk about this. There comes a point where the rejections start getting, and I would put this in quotes, better. Like, instead of getting the form letter, you get maybe a couple of lines saying, oh, I liked your character, but I can't take mm-hmm. your book because of X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the more, the books that I wrote, I could tell that my writing was getting better and the rejection mm-hmm. letters were getting better. And I thought, you know, it only takes one person to say yes. And I finally had that person that said yes.
Wow. Okay. So, what book number was it that you got the yes? And like, how many books did you have to write until you got to a yes?
I believe it was book number 7, and that was Karma Girl. That was the first book in my big time superhero series. And that one came out in 2007.
Okay. And how many years from the point of first writing those first pages on book 1 to getting that yes? Like, how many years was that?
It was about 7 years.
Okay, so 7 years. I think a lot of times it's important to hear that it takes 7 years or 10 years. You know, sometimes you hear these fantastic stories where somebody writes a book and then a year later it's whatever. But generally speaking, it's a long commitment we're making to this, especially when you're talking traditional publishing, right? Where there are many gatekeepers, there is more people, more cooks in the kitchen than if you go the self-pub route, which is not a right or wrong answer. It's just what the writer wants to do. But, you know, sometimes I think we're in this digital world where we expect immediate results. We expect things to happen like yesterday. And the book writing process and the book publishing process specifically isn't always going to fit that model. So it's good to hear, like, it takes 7 years. So, so it took 7 years. First book came out, and then what has been, so that was in 2000, did you say 7? So 14 years ago, 15 years ago, give or take?
2007. Yeah.
Okay. And so now if you look from 2007 until now, like, what are some of the big lessons you've learned as somebody who's written 40 books, who has written tons of series, has lots of experience now under your belt? Like, what are some of the big lessons now you've learned as a published author that maybe you'd want to know, you know, when you were first starting out?
Anytime, like, I see a debut author talk, you know, on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, so excited, you know, about their book coming out and yada, 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 I kind of like want to send them a care package with like ice cream and wine and chocolate and like some tissues because I think, oh, you don't know what you're in for. And, you know, there are a lot of good things in publishing, but there are a lot of bad things too. I mean, sure. You know, we've all seen the horrible reviews online where somebody is like trying to be so clever by tearing your book down. So I think I would want to tell myself to just kind of celebrate the positive things that happen and try to ignore the negative things as best you can. And be patient, because publishing is like, I think, the one industry where everything still takes forever.
Right.
Forever. I mean, I have literally written books while I've been waiting for contracts or for, you know, other things to happen. So I would tell my younger self to like, don't expect things to happen overnight, because they will never do that in publishing.
Yeah. 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 It's a patience game is what you're saying.
Definitely. You know, not just the writing on your part. I also, you were talking about, you know, we think things will happen overnight. And I think if a lot of people think, oh, I can write a book in a weekend or whatever. And unless you're writing like, you know, 30,000 words a day, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And are those good? Are those going to be a good 30,000 words too? Right. Like,
exactly. So, I would just encourage anybody who's going to get into the publishing industry to have a lot of patience.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. I always say, if we remove the expectation of time, a lot of things become a lot easier. You know, it's like when we get frustrated that they're not going fast enough, and I'm speaking for myself, I'm guilty as charged on this one. It just gets easier to be like, it's going to take what it's going to take, you know, and to be comfortable and not, you know. So let's talk about sci-fi a little bit. What are some of the things, like I said, we have tons of people who read and write sci-fi and fantasy. In fact, we did a survey of our kind of listeners and people who are kind of in our network. And that was the number one, sci-fi and fantasy was the number one genre people write within. And of course there's a billion subgenres, but we'll just leave it at that. You know, So as you've kind of learned and you've written more books and you've had all these series, like what are some of the pointers? Like if someone was like, hey, like what are some of the big lessons to learn about how to do this well, what would you share with them?
I always tell people to have fun with their writing, as much fun as you can, you know, chaining to yourself to your computer day in and day out. But if you're not having fun writing whatever it is you're writing, then people aren't going to have fun reading it. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, publishing is very cyclical. You know, you'll have like a genre that's really, really popular for a while, and then it kind of fades away. Like urban fantasy is a good example. You know, like 5 or 10 years ago, urban fantasy was like the hot genre. Now, you know, a lot of people have moved away from it. But I always tell people, like, if you don't like reading and watching like zombie books and TV shows and that sort of thing, don't sit down and try to write a zombie book, because you're not going to enjoy it. And it's going to show in your writing. You know, write about something that you enjoy, that you're passionate about. Try to set yourself up for success as early as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. What, anything, anything specific to like the genre itself? Like, is there any one thing you've learned? You're like, oh, you know what? I know if I have a strong character, the world is really whatever it might be, things get easier. Anything in, you know, specific to the genre?
I would say, you know, if you've taken all the time to create a world, really explore it and have fun with it. And, you know, maybe you write a book and in this world and the character isn't working or it gets rejected for whatever reason, you know, take that work and maybe apply it to a different book. Basically just to never throw anything away, because you'd never know like what might spark an idea that might spark, you know, like the idea that might help you sell your book or a short story or whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said that you write a lot of words a day. I think you said 5,000 when you're doing your first draft. Is that right?
Yeah. About 5,000 or 6,000.
So you're talking just like a couple of weeks and you have a draft done, give or take.
I'd say about 3 weeks. It just depends on the genre and how long the book is. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is like that typical working day look like for you? Like how are you organizing your day to be able to get 5,000 words done? I mean, I get 1,000 and I think I've got I'm happy with that. So it's like 5X that is just phenomenal to me. How does that work for you?
Well, again, you know, I have the background of working for a newspaper, and sometimes I would have 15 minutes to write a story before deadline. So that kind of taught me how to write quickly. So, you know, I usually get up and, you know, I'm on the computer by 9 o'clock, and I will set the timer on my phone, and I will usually do about 30 minute increments. And I try to do 1,000 or 1,500 words in those 30 minutes. And again, these are not like good final finished words. It's just about me getting the characters and the story down so I can go back and edit it later.
Wow. So you're just sitting down there. I mean, 1,000 words in 30 minutes, you're just sitting down and you're just typing the entire time. I mean, like your fingers are not, they're just clickety clacking for 30 minutes straight. Yeah. Yeah. Got super strong tendons in these fingers is what you're saying.
my massage therapist says that I have forearms of steel, but I don't think that's a good thing.
Oh man, you could be a good rock wall climber with that. So you're not really, I mean, there's not, how would I say this? Are you thinking as you're typing, or are you just it's almost, I don't want to say stream of conscious, but like, I mean, for 1,000 words in 30 minutes, you're not sitting there and like being like, what happens next for a minute or two? I mean, like there's no way you can hit that word count in 30 minutes, right?
Well, I mean, sometimes I do sit there and think, okay, what is the next scene? Yeah. What needs to happen in the next chapter? But I mean, for me, it's a pretty even split between kind of like the stream of consciousness and then knowing sort of the things that need to happen in that scene, or like the dialogue between the characters or whatever that I'm writing. And, you know, after I finish my words for the day, you know, I'm still thinking about the story in my head. And, you know, maybe I'll plot out a little bit of what I need to write the next day, or, you know, something that I need to go back and fix in a different draft or whatever. So even if I'm not necessarily writing at the computer, a lot of it is still percolating in my brain, which I think helps me with that mindset. And then also too, setting the timer on the phone helps me, because, you know, I have this goal that I need to hit in a certain amount of time. So that kind of helps me turn off that internal editor that says, oh, this is a load of crap and this is a hot mess that no one's ever going to want to read. What are you doing, Jennifer? You just kind of have to set all that aside with the first draft.
What one thing too that's really sticking out to me that I'm hearing as you talk is this, like, boy, you have to be distraction free. Like, you're not writing 1,000 words in 30 minutes if you also have Twitter open. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's impossible to be able to get that kind of word count with, you know, heavy distractions. How do you stay so focused?
Well, I come in my little office and, you know, I set the timer and I don't look at Twitter or Facebook or whatever for those 30 minutes. Now at the end of the 30 minutes, when the timer goes off, I'll take 5 or 10 minutes just to like check my email, social media, whatever that I need to do, and then get up and stretch and move a little bit. And then I'll set the timer again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, like you said, it's, I need to not be distracted. Like, so, you know, just like things like that, setting your own personal boundaries, you know, with your family, your kids, your spouse, your friends, whoever it is, and just, you know, say, this is my writing time and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So there's a technique that's incredibly similar. I'm sure you've heard of it, called the Pomodoro. And it's essentially the same idea. You work in sprints and you do a 25-minute sprint. You can do whatever you want. The common is 25, you do a 25-minute sprint, 5-minute break, 25-minute sprint, 5-minute break, 25-minute sprint, 15-minute break. And that encapsulates one Pomodoro. So what is that, 2 hours and 10 minutes, give or take? Yeah, 2 hours. So it's 4 sprints, 5 minutes in between each one, except for the last one, you get 15 minutes. And the idea is to like have highly focused time with like a relaxation for your brain. And there's actually really interesting, there's like timers out there. Cause I use this when I write too. I find it's the only way I can write. Cause if not, I get really distracted. But if I know I've only got 25 minutes, it like helps focus. So there's timers out there that are really interesting. And then everyone, I think if you've listened to the podcast for more than a month, you've heard me talk about the Freedom app, and that's a great app on your computer and on your phone that nukes the internet. Like you can't access anything. So if you are prone to distraction, like me, it's a good way to make sure there's no way even if you go to Twitter, nothing happens. It's just like green screen, you're free. So some ideas for people out there.
And I would add too that, you know, it's not just your writing time that you need to schedule, because authors do so much more than write. You know, we do social media and advertising and blogs and Zooms and everything these days. And so, you know, I will also do that. Like, you know, after I finish a draft or a writing project, I'll take a couple of days and just like get ahead on my social media or update my website or whatever that I need to do. So a lot of it is about scheduling.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. Well, here we are, Jennifer. We have reached the point of the show where we must wrap up. And this is the point where I ask you our final 5 questions. So I ask these same questions to every single guest. I do it. I always say the spiel before every time I say the 5 questions, but I just do it because I'm like, somebody's gonna be like, why does this guy do this? At least I believe that. I hope that's the case, because if not, people are listening to this spiel every single time. But anyways, I do these final 5 questions because I like it. It's really fun for me. I think they're cool. But also, you know, huge part of the show, so much of what we're here to do is encourage, inspire people, but also like kind of help people find their process, their way of putting words on the page. Because once you can do that, the whole writing life opens up. And there's such diversity in these answers. My hope is that you have the courage and freedom, and you kind of get the permission almost in a way to just figure out how to write however you want. Like, there's no one right way. No one does it the way you should do it. Your way is the right way. So with my preamble complete, I will now ask you the final 5 questions. So question number one, what is the one word that best describes you?
Determined.
I've got a couple words that like I was like, I bet you it's gonna be one of these. Determined was on that list. Like, you are so determined.
I would say determined or driven. So take your pick.
Yeah. I was gonna say something like, you know, perseverant or something along those lines. You know, somebody who just keeps going and pushing, because like, boy, 500 rejections. That might be a How Writers Write record. I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody have 500 rejections. Okay, question number two. if you could pick a spirit book. Okay. So this is a book that if you died and you were able to be reincarnated as a book, you'd pick this book. It like really encapsulates, you know, who you are. What book would that be?
I am going to say Casino Royale by Ian Fleming. Yeah, because first of all, I'm a huge James Bond fan. I discovered those books in high school and the movies and all that. But to me, the James Bond sort of the James Bond format, it's almost the perfect story because, you know, I like to write books with a little bit of everything in them. Action, adventure, danger, romance. And the Bond books have all of that stuff. You know, they have the daring rescues and the exotic locales and, you know, like the cool gadgets and things like that. And the only thing the Bond books are missing is magic. But I think they're just such a great blend of, you know, action and romance and like a thriller. So for me, it's like the Bond sort of format is just about the perfect story format.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You're the first one to say Casino Royale. Love it. Okay. Question number three. Is there a specific tool? Can be anything at all. And I always say pencil, software chair, coffee, tea, wine, whatever that you absolutely must have to write.
Well, I will say two things. The first and most important is dead freaking silence.
Dead silence. Okay. No
dead
music.
Dead silence. You know, I know a lot of authors listen to music, but I can't do that. I find that I just like tune it out. So for me, you know, silence is just works the best when I'm writing. And then I will say my go-to snack, is gummy bears because like the more sugar I eat, the faster I can write. Right. Oh, man,
that's so funny. Gummy bears. I love it. Okay. Question number four, how do you deal with the constant ups and downs of the writing life?
Well, I will tell you, there are a lot of ups and there are also a lot of downs. Some days it seems like there are more downs than ups, unfortunately. Like I said before, you know, you just have to kind of celebrate and focus on the positive things that happen and ignore the bad and the crappy things that happen, like negative reviews or whatever. I will say one of my favorite quotes is from the movie Galaxy Quest when they say, you know, never give up, never surrender. And I kind of think that's like the perfect motto for every writer out there because, you know, no matter how successful your books are, you know, you're always gonna have bad days.
Yeah,
I think we've all had a lot of bad days, especially over the past year. But you just kind of have to keep going, you know, and just kind of write your way through to the other side.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Okay, last question for you: if you could give just one piece of advice to new writers out there, what would it be?
I would say have fun with your writing, you know, write the kind of book that you would want to read and don't worry about what anybody else will think about it, especially not in the beginning. Just sit down and, you know, write the story that you want to write and tell the story that you want to tell.
I love it. I love it. Jennifer, where can people find you out in the world, out and about?
They can find me on my website, which is www.jenniferestep.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And then you can follow me on Amazon, BookBub, and Goodreads.
Okay. Wow. So you have a broad digital presence.
I do.
Yeah. And we will, you know, when this episode goes live, we will push this out obviously to our network and we'll tag Jennifer. So if you guys want to see her in action on social media, follow Jennifer, we'll help make that happen. Jennifer, thank you so much. I just love your never say die attitude. It is so important and refreshing and encouraging. You know, it's like there's I hope you know people have a similar reaction that I have had, which is like, damn it, if you can go through 500 rejections, I can go through XYZ. You know what I mean? Like truly, if you can do that, I can go through whatever it is that's on my plate. And I hope that's what people take from that. Not, oh God, no, I have to go through 500 rejections. I hope that's not the response.
Yeah. I wouldn't want like people to have to suffer through sort of my version of the writing journey. And you know, if you do get discouraged or something else that I like to do is I'll put on some music like Shake It Off by Taylor Swift or one of my favorites is, the song by Pink, So What? I'm Still a Rock Star. So
love it.
Something for your playlist.
Love it. Well, Jennifer, thank you again so much. It's been such a pleasure interviewing you. And best of luck going forward in your writing journey. I'm sure we'll see lots of you.
Thanks for having me.
I want to say thank you again to Jennifer for her time. If you haven't yet, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Also, check me out on Instagram. I'm posting all sorts of pictures and stories about my travels across this country. Lastly, I just want to take a special minute and thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week of writing.